Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Today we find ourselves at the third Sunday after Pascha, in which we commemorate the memory of the paralytic. And I want us to focus on four things. One, the paralytic. This needs to be louder. I don't know how.
Say something.
Two, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How's that, Andy? Three, the poor example of the religious leaders. And then three, the religious leaders. And four, us. What we can take from all the things that the first three show us. So let's first examine what we know about the paralytic. We know that these five pools, each under their own porch, are in Jerusalem and they're not far from the temple. As a matter of fact, the pools were used to wash the animals that were being offered for sacrifice in the temple. And we also know that there was a lot of foot traffic through this area. But there's also something very mysterious about these pools, because during certain seasons, an angel of the Lord would come and stir the water, and whoever was first into the water after the angel disturbed it would be healed of whatever affliction they had. And so the porticos, the porches, attracted hundreds and hundreds of people who were blind and lame and paralyzed and afflicted with all kinds of illnesses, each of them wanting to be the first to get into one of those pools that the angel of the Lord agitated, knowing that grace was in that water and there would be a healing. We find this paralytic there 38 years. 38 years is a long time. Being paralyzed 38 years is a long time. I don't want to be too graphic, but imagine a body that cannot move itself, that cannot exercise, the atrophy, the twisting, the disfigurement that would take place slowly but surely over those 38 years. And then you have a physical picture of the paralytic. Imagine every single year, and we don't know what different seasons of the year or different seasons period means. We don't know, in other words, how often the angel of the Lord came in a given calendar year. It may have been once, it may not have even have been once, it may have been several times. The scripture doesn't tell us. But year after year after year, the paralytic waited. In some ways, knowing, because he was a paralytic, that on his own there was no way that he could get into the water after the angel of the Lord stirred it. Yet when the Lord comes to him and he asks him what we might think is an obvious rhetorical question, do you want to be healed? He then gives a response that blows my mind. I tend to be a person who wants to control things. I tend to therefore get a little bit emotionally attached to the fact that I don't have control. And that easily frustrates me. Maybe some of you are more peaceful. Maybe some of you are more easygoing. But 38 years is a long time to not have control. So I would suspect that this paralytic would voice some of his frustration to someone who took the time to look him in the eyes and to ask him, Do you want to be healed? But he doesn't voice his frustration. He simply explains to Jesus his situation. I have no man to help me. When the angel of the Lord agitates the water, and therefore, I have never had the opportunity to be healed. Can you imagine the patience? Can you imagine the long-suffering? How did he prevent himself from not becoming bitter? How did he become not angry and frustrated over his situation? But none of that comes out. And he didn't know Jesus. He didn't even know who ends up healing him, as we see later on in the story. So it wasn't like he had anything to impress. There's no reason for him to try to impress the person who asked him. We all have troubles. We all have situations in our life where we feel like we do not have control. Some of us have chronic situations. This is a chronic situation. Some of us don't have chronic situations, but we lose it so quickly. So what I want us to think about is, what virtues does this man emulate? Does he exude so that we can emulate him? His patience, his long-suffering, his hopefulness, his optimism, his endurance. These are qualities that we need to cultivate and ask the Lord to help us have in our lives. The second person I want us to focus on is the Lord himself. Notice that he purposely comes to this area of Jerusalem, knowing as God that he would encounter this paralytic after this length of time, that he would ask him this very question: do you want to be healed? This is no accidental encounter. This is purposeful. It's intentional. He went straight to that area to encounter this man and to make him whole, to present him to the world, because he knew that it would be recorded in this gospel and that it would be talked about every third Sunday after Pascha. Notice that he says, after the man explains the situation, simply rise, take up your pallet, and go. And then he disappears. He withdraws so quickly that the man who was healed, who was able to straighten out his body instantaneously, to be healed of all those 38 years of atrophy and degeneration of his muscles and his limbs, the straightening of the twisting and deformation of his body, instantly taken care of. As soon as he rises and he takes his pallet to be obedient to Jesus, Jesus is gone. He doesn't even have a chance to thank him. And the scriptures give us the reason. Because there were so many people there, Jesus did not want to receive the credit for it. He is so humble. He is so selfless. He teaches us how to do good works for the sake of the person that we do them for the sake of the Lord himself, but not for ourselves. If I had that power, I probably would have hung around so people could pat me on the back, thank me, congratulate me, and make me feel pretty good about what I did. That's a pretty astounding miracle, but not our Lord. And remember, he's a man as well as God. And so he is, in a sense, subject to all of the potential temptations that we are subject to. But he resists them every time, showing us what it means to be a truly human person. Thirdly, we have the religious leaders. They are so fixated on rules, on laws, on black and white, right and wrong, that they cannot rejoice over someone who is made whole. That healing takes place on the Sabbath, and that's all they can focus on. It shows how insecure they were, how important it was for them to be looked and esteemed by the people as right, as knowing the truth. But it's a truth that they beat over the heads of human beings. This is not the way of our Lord. This is not the way of Christianity. Yes, we want to be ones who cling to the truth. We want to know right and wrong. We want to know the commandments. We want to know the faith. But we want to use it softly, lovingly, discerningly, sensitively, in a way that unbinds people and frees them and loosens them so that they can be as human as possible, so that they can follow God. We do not want to hit them over the heads with it, like these Pharisees do. It prevented them from being able to rejoice with a man who was made whole. And instead, they said, "Who did this to you, that we may accuse him of breaking the law?" So my dear brothers and sisters, let us look at our own lives. How patient are we? How faithful? How optimistic? How positive? How long-suffering? What virtue does this paralytic show us that we need to cultivate in our own life? Notice that the Lord at the end of this story says, "Go and sin no more, lest anything worse befall you." The Lord oftentimes makes a connection between our troubles and our trials and our tribulations and the mistakes that we make. Oftentimes, very often, we bring on our own suffering. And we need to examine our life and look at it and repent and try to follow the commandments of our Lord so that we do not voluntarily, knowingly, intentionally bring upon sorrow and suffering upon ourselves. Go and sin no more. Repentance is such a powerful, powerful action in our lives. It not only reconciles us to the Lord, but it also makes straight our paths. It doesn't confuse our lives. It doesn't invite drama into our life. We don't need to invite sorrow and suffering. We don't need to invite mistakes. They come in this fallen world without our adding to them. So let us try to repent ourselves and draw near to the Lord and make straight the path before us and imitate the life and the virtue of the paralytic and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and avoid at all costs the example of those religious leaders of that time. And they're all around us today as well. Let us follow the truth, let it free us, but let us also bless the people with a loving version of the truth so that they too can be free. Amen.